Welcome everyone to Spirit of Truth Church here for this Christmas video for you guys. I'm very excited to be going through the Christmas story and then talking about what the incarnation actually is and the true meaning of Christmas. And with that, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Dear Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for this time. We ask God that we keep in mind the true meaning of Christmas this season as the incarnation of the Word of God into human flesh. We praise your name, Lord, and we thank you that you came here to love us, to die for us, to purchase us with your great and precious blood. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. So let's begin by reading the Christmas story. This is Luke 1:26 through 2:38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And an angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's slave, Mary," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done the mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Then she returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her his great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, "What then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. He has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from our enemies' clutches, to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, in the presence all our days. or in his presence all our days. And child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew up and became spiritually strong, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the lodging place. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah of the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace on earth to the people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. When the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace, as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also prophetess Anna, and a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And so there is the Christmas story. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, became incarnate in human flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I want to talk briefly about the incarnation. Because right now, we see Christmas time, we see lights, we see all sorts of different things and festivities. And it's easy to forget the true meaning and purpose of Christmas, which is that God came to earth, took on a human nature, so that one day he could die and pay the full penalty of the price of human sin. Now, why was it necessary for an incarnation to happen? No, one could simply say that it was prophesied from the beginning in Scripture, going all the way back to Adam and Eve's original sin, where there would be a promised seed coming from Eve that would stamp on the head of the serpent, though it would bite his heel. We see this prophecy and others like it born throughout the prophets. We see the seed reference coming back. We see the reference of a promised Messiah, even of a divine Messiah, who would come to reign among the people forever. The incarnation was required for the salvation of sinners. No human being would ever be born who would be sinless again after Adam and Eve, unless God himself came and gave that humanity its personhood. Thus, as a man, God could take the penalty. He could die. He could have his body and soul be separate. He could literally be inflicted with the worst of tortures and then die. But as God, he could endure it to the full. He could endure it, survive through the punishment. And then, because of his holy perfection, be resurrected and deliver that salvation to those who believe. In the incarnation, the love of God towards sinners was fully expressed. Again, in terms of the penalty of sin, one, you had to be able to acquire salvation, and two, you had to apply it. And so in the humanity, Jesus suffered. In his divinity, he overcame. In his humanity, he received the punishment from God, and as God, he endured it to the end. In his humanity, Jesus died on a cross. And as God, he applies that victory over death to us through faith in the Holy Spirit. In the incarnation, Jesus was wholly human and wholly God at the same time. He had a fully human body and a fully human soul spirit. In terms of his divinity, he was fully divine. Nothing changed in the Trinity, nothing changed in his divinity. And this is why we have a special theological term for this. It's called the hypostatic union. It's a relational union. That's another way to say it. It's a personal union. In other words, two natures, a human and a divine nature, are united under one person, Jesus the Messiah. It's not the exact same, but it's similar to how we have a physical nature and a spiritual nature united under one person, us. Jesus simply has a human and a divine nature. He still has also the soul as well, that kind of immaterial nature. But in totality, the human nature and the divine nature are united under the person Jesus. Two natures brought into one. And finally, why do we celebrate Christmas? Because God assumed a human nature. And not only did he live among us back then, but he still lives today. Jesus in the human nature is in heaven right now. And Jesus in the human nature will return to this earth as the conquering king. When God became human, he did so to bridge the gap between us and him. Christmas, the Day of Atonement, and Easter are probably the three most important days in the year to celebrate. In Christmas, we have God coming to this world to love us and die for us. In the Day of Atonement, Passover, we have God going to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we have God being risen to life again, just as he has promised to raise all of us. The second person of the Trinity is now intimately linked with humanity, saved us from our sins. And this is the greatest demonstration of God's love for a fallen world and a fallen people. So to everyone who says Christmas is lost, or Christmas is secularized, or Christmas is commercialized, I simply say this. That's not Christmas. Christmas is the day we celebrate the incarnation of the Word of God into human nature. The day that God came to live among us as one of us, with the intention of dying for us, to save us from our sins and redeem him to himself. I hope you all have a wonderful and merry Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord, we praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for your incarnation. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth and dying on a cross for our sins. We praise you, Lord, And as we worship you over this Christmas holiday, may we be reminded that you are fully God and fully man, and you fully paid the price. And Lord, may we thank you and honor you for what you've done for all eternity. Amen. Have a nice evening.